I'm late. I had to stop by the Wax Museum again and give the finger to FDR.
We know Al-Qaeda, Zawahiri, is supporting the opposition in Syria. Are we supporting Al-Qaeda in Syria?
It's a proud day for America. And by God, we've kicked Vietnam Syndrome once and for all. Thank you very, very much.
I say it again. You've been had. You've been took. You've been hoodwinked.
These witnesses are trying to simply deny things that just about everybody else accepts as fact.
He came, he saw, he died.
But we ain't killing they army, but we killing them. We be on CNN like, say our name, Ben, say it three times.
The meeting of the largest armies in the history of the world. Then there's going to be an invasion.
All right, y'all, introducing Mance Rader, the pseudonym of our good friend and fellow podcaster. He does the podcast Free Man Beyond the Wall, which we feature at the Libertarian Institute at libertarianinstitute.org. He's also the author of The Kids Are Not All Right. And for some reason, I just spaced out on what was the book before that again, Mance?
You mean the one you wrote the foreword
for? Yeah, the one I wrote the foreword to.
It's Freedom Through Memedom.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I have it here. Freedom Through Memedom, which is also awesome. And then, yeah, The Kids Are Not All Right, about what commies they all are these days. Welcome back to the show. How you doing, man?
Doing good, man. How are you doing?
Very good. Happy to have you here. And listen, so I got something very important to talk about here, the case of Ross Ulbricht. And I apologize to my entire audience and to the entire world that I have done nothing on this case up until this point on this show, which, you know, it's a foreign policy show mostly, but this is really important. He's one of us, Ross Ulbricht. He's a libertarian, and he's locked up in prison, two life terms plus 40 years for what I gather is doing a public service, as far as I can tell, and hurting no one. So appreciate you joining us here. First of all, just tell us, who is Ross? What is the Silk Road? What was the Silk Road? Why is he sitting in a penitentiary right now?
Well, Ross was a guy who got involved with the Ron Paul campaign in 2007. That's how I came to libertarianism. He became active. He was actually active in the campaign. He started reading about Austrian economics, and he started reading about agorism. His mom told me he had designed a video game where it was going to teach people how to have voluntary associations, and it never went anywhere. He couldn't sell it. So being somebody who was interested in voluntary associations, he decided to create this website called The Silk Road. And it was in what they call the deep web Tor. And basically, it was going to be a market bazaar, a flea market of sorts, where people could exchange goods, normally goods that would be associated, where if you wanted to try and get them, you may encounter violence. There's violence around it in our society, the war on drugs, things like that. And he basically created this. It was only going to be you were only allowed to use Bitcoin. That was the currency, which is, we'll come back to later, because I think that's what all of this is about, the fact that they used Bitcoin. And he created this site. They had a bunch of rules. You were not allowed to sell anything that could potentially hurt somebody. If guns went up there, they were immediately taken down. If anybody put anything that could cause harm to another person that wasn't something that they would do voluntarily, it was taken down. So it turned out that it basically turned out to be mostly weed, people selling weed. And there were some designer drugs that were sold on there. But it was a voluntary site, and you went on there and you could buy what you needed.
Mm-hmm. And this was what years?
He started it in 2011, and it really started to kick off and get really popular in 2012.
Mm-hmm. And then, so what's the big deal?
Well, the site was trafficking drugs. You could buy drugs on the site. It was basically like eBay. Somebody put something up there for sale. You decided you wanted it. You paid the amount that the seller wanted, and they would mail it to you, get it to you somehow. And the administrators of the site would, just like eBay, would take a portion, and that was basically it. But the big
So the rule was you can't sell guns or something like that, but that was basically their own choice of where they drew that line. The line was not you can't sell anything that's illegal, which would have been a different standard, right?
Well, correct. Yeah, I mean, it's if they would have decided to sell guns, I mean, personally, me, I'm an anarchist. That wouldn't bother me. But they wanted to try and limit the attention that you would draw from the government. Now, obviously, by selling, if 90 to 95% of what's being sold on the Silk Road is marijuana, it's a Schedule One drug in this country for some reason. Mm-hmm. And the DEA actually, agents actually infiltrated the Silk Road. There were actually an administrator, someone with administrative capabilities who was a DEA agent. And that's how all of this started to, that's how the Silk Road basically was taken down.
Mm-hmm. Well, so this is a new invention, the way he set this up. But were there laws on the books that actually banned something like this? Or they had to get creative in figuring out how to characterize it as though he was breaking the law?
Well, yeah, if you actually look at the charges that were leveled, you could see that they're being very creative. I'll give you an example. The first thing that he was convicted of was distributing or aiding and abetting the distribution of narcotics. You got to remember, aiding and abetting means knowingly assisting in the commission of a crime, even if he didn't actually commit the crime. Distribution requires a concrete involvement in the transfer of drugs. So basically they were
saying... And narcotics, of course, means a derivative of the poppy plant, not any old illegal drug, but I guess that doesn't matter.
No, I mean they make up their law. They make up their laws. They use a dead language, Latin, and they twist it any way they want. And that's what they did in this case. He was convicted on seven different counts. What's most bizarre is that the one count that people think he was convicted of, and that it's clear that Ross Ulbricht was guilty of this, is he was never convicted of. It was a count that was brought to deny him bail, which is murder for hire. There's this whole story about how Ross Ulbricht was trying to hire assassins to kill somebody, and it was Wired Magazine, who used to be on the cutting edge of everything, basically outed themselves as statist government lovers by releasing transcripts that they said proved that Ross Ulbricht tried to hire assassins to have people killed. It turns out that this was all taken from an account that up to five people had access to, and that an undercover DEA agent also had access to. So right there, it's reasonable doubt, because if six people have access to something and you see words coming across a screen, well, prove to me who was the one who typed it. And so he was charged with murder for hire, denied bail. 2 months later, they drop the charges, goes to trial. These seven crazy charges that they just basically invented and had to use insane language to convict him on. He gets convicted. The judge brings up the murder for hire again at sentencing. And people look at this and they think that this is okay. I mean, how, you know, it would be like being on trial for, you know, vehicular manslaughter, and then somebody says, oh, and also he tried to hire someone to, I mean, how was this guy sentenced to two life sentences plus 40 years based off of basically narcotics, what would essentially be narcotics trafficking? Yeah. I mean, just this week, it was announced that it was in the Baltimore court that these charges of murder for hire were brought. They were dismissed without prejudice, which means that they could be brought up again. Mm-hmm. Well, they've never been brought up again. And this week, the prosecutor has submitted paperwork to have them dismissed with prejudice, which means they could never be brought up again.
The prosecutor filed for that. Why? Well, Did they say? No, they didn't say. Prosecutor got elected or something?
Yeah, it has to be that. I'm not up on that, but I can.
I mean, that's important. When you say with prejudice, that means that I don't want to hear this again. The prosecutor is asking the judge to forbid him from trying this later.
Yeah, it says respect. I'm looking at the document right now, and it says respectfully submitted Robert K. Herr, United States Attorney, by Sandra Wilkinson, Assistant United States Attorney.
Okay, so yeah, these are federal prosecutors. Nobody's elected here, but maybe somebody's been appointed to replace somebody else.
Yeah, so this has been, so we've known all along that, I mean, okay, let me bring this up. Mm-hmm. The agent that infiltrated the Silk Road and became an admin.
Wait, hold on to that for a second. Just where we are so far. Mm-hmm. The guy's convicted of hosting a website where other people sell weed to each other, and he, you know, presumably knows this and allows it to continue or whatever. So they're trumping up and making him part of a drug conspiracy here. But then at the sentencing, the judge brings up crimes that he was not charged with and was not convicted of, and sentences him to two life terms plus 40 years, quite apparently based on a conviction for trying to hire hitmen on an attempted murder or whatever you would call that if there was actually a charge and a conviction. And now he's doing two life terms plus 40, even though as of this week, the U.S. attorney has said that they have at least, I don't know what their belief is about whether he did it or not, but they don't believe that they could prove it in a million years. And they've now asked the judge to dismiss that charge with prejudice. So it was already dismissed without prejudice, meaning it wasn't active, but it could be brought back up again. But now even the U.S. attorney says, forbid me from bringing this back up again because it's BS. And yet he's still, I mean, doesn't that give them the biggest opening in the world to appeal the sentence? If the judge sentenced him for a thing that even the prosecutor agrees now is unprosecutable?
Here's the problem, though. Our system is so fucked up that he's exhausted all of his appeals. He's taken it all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court denied listening to the motions that were brought, dismissed them. So according to the judicial system, the only way that he can be released from prison now is by pardon or clemency.
Well, but can't he appeal based on other premises or no?
From everything I understand, because I talked to his mom the other night, and she's really very nerdy on this stuff. She knows all the cases involved, and she said no. She said even with this new evidence, he can only be pardoned. He can only get pardoned from the president or clemency because of the way our system is designed. And I mean it's absolutely remarkable that this even went to trial, considering two of the lead investigators went to jail for corruption during this case. Two of the lead investigators are in prison right now.
Right, and so take that up and run with that. Tell me, how could that possibly be a cop being held accountable for anything? They must have really done something bad.
Well, yeah, they... I can never remember the guy's name because he has such a weird name. The lead cop on it, the one who had infiltrated I think his name is Karl Mark Force. Yeah, here it is. Says, rampant corruption was revealed after his conviction. Two federal agents were under investigation before and during the trial and have been indicted for corruption, stealing and extorting funds from the Silk Road. The main Bitcoin wallet that was used for storing the Bitcoin that the Silk Road took as fees for transactions. Yeah, that's gone. Yeah, it's gone.
I remember reading about this, that the DEA agent, at least one of them, that this was what he got in trouble for, was for stealing the Bitcoins. He thought he was going to get away with that. Never heard of the blockchain ledger, I guess.
Yeah. So one of the agents, DEA agent Karl Mark Force, was the lead undercover agent in the case against Albrecht and had high level access to the website, to the admin of the website, where he could alter logs. He could alter anything. This is the main guy who all of the evidence in the case came from, and he is in prison for corruption. Think about this: if you've heard of cases that were dismissed, never even brought to trial because they just, there was reasonable doubt. There was just, we can't prove it was this person. So we have five people who have access to an account, including an undercover DEA agent. The DEA agent, the two agents are brought up under corruption charges and sentenced to prison. How can anybody take the evidence in this case seriously when the two people who are responsible for gathering most of it are in prison for corruption?
Yeah, it's corruption on this case.
On this case, yeah, it's the biggest farce I've ever heard about. He's in a prison. He's in a maximum security prison with rapists and murderers and low-level terrorists in Florence, Colorado, where everybody in there, including the guards, say, this guy does not belong in here.
In what Florence, here you mean for? In the Supermax with Ted Kaczynski?
No, it's the same compound. On the same compound, there's a max and a super max. Okay. He's not in the super max. He's in the max.
Still, he's
in there. He's in there with murderers and rapists, and he started a website.
Now, help me with this, man. I seem to remember from back during the trial, and I'm so sorry to you and to Ross and to everybody for being so bad on this story, but wasn't there a whole thing where the conviction was of the Dread Pirate Roberts, and they said, well, that's him. But in fact, there were a few different people who were the Dread Pirate Roberts. I think that's what you're talking about, this admin account, that there were at least five different people involved on it. And so, like Tyler Durden over there at Zero Hedge, right? It's whoever's writing for Zero Hedge today is Tyler Durden kind of thing. And so they connected him to this pseudonym, but they did not necessarily connect him to the pseudonym at the time it was being used for X, Y, or Z. Is that right?
He was arrested and put in jail awaiting for trial, and people were still signing into the Dread Pirate Roberts account.
Am I right though that they were able to accuse the Dread Pirate Roberts of committing these crimes, but they couldn't more specifically tie it to him? In other words, they couldn't say that, well, through the State Department's key to the Tor system, we know that it was his IP address that logged in as Roberts that day when X, Y, or Z happened, or something more specific like that.
Well, when he was picked up. He was in a library in San Francisco. He was logged into the Dread Pirate Roberts account, we know that he was one of the admins on it, but having multiple admins just raises reasonable doubt in every case. So, but here's the other thing. When they seized his laptop from him that day, they had no warrant for that laptop. They had, it was a Fourth Amendment. That was one of the things that went to the Supreme Court, was that he had Fourth Amendment protections for that laptop that were completely ignored. And the Supreme Court just said, nope, they quoted some case from 1979 that had something to do with the phone company. I can't state the case right now.
I can tell you because it's really important. This is the basis of the third party doctrine right here. Was a guy had robbed a lady and then he kept threatening her. He was calling her and threatening her. And the cops went and got the phone records from the company without a warrant and proved that he was the one who was calling her and convicted him. And the defense attorneys, of course, said they had no right to do that. And the judge upheld it. And the courts just made up this law. There's no state legislature in the country or the U.S. Congress have ever passed a law like this. This judge made up law that said that, well, if you do business with anyone, those records are public information, and doesn't matter if your contract says you have to keep my records private or anything like that. As long as you have a relationship with any other person in a business sense, I guess, then all those records are up for grabs without a warrant. And that third party doctrine has been used and abused beyond any kind of reason ever since then. And so that was what they cited there.
And one of the craziest parts about that whole thing is in the language of it, it says that if you give your phone number to the phone company, which never made any sense to me because the phone company is the one that gives you the phone number.
Right.
It's one of those things that was made up on the spot because there was no precedent for it.
Right.
So they had to invent it on the spot, and they actually use, and the Supreme Court just actually used that to dismiss this, which just lets you know how wonderful everything has been since 9/11, the Patriot Act, all this stuff.
I'm sorry, I'm just spacing out on this. My brain is about worthless at this point, I guess. But I just interviewed somebody a couple of weeks ago about a court case where the third party doctrine was finally being challenged. But I guess too late for this.
Apparently the way the legal system is set up in this country, if you have a certain amount of challenges you can bring to the court, and after that, then the only way that you can the only way is through the president.
Amazing.
No one's ever heard Donald Trump say the word Bitcoin or blockchain or anything like that. So, I mean, what are the chances unless. Lynn Ulbricht, Ross's mom, always says, ask people, if you know a politician, somebody in power, please get me in contact with them so I can talk to them. Because, I mean, it literally, at this point, that's the only way he's ever going to get out. And, you know, I remind you, 2 life sentences and 40 years for starting a website. I mean, it's one of the most dystopian things you can think of.
Yeah, it really is crazy. And, you know, so I just saw this morning. It's a Democrat, Brianna Wu, running for Congress, put out a tweet this morning about, oh, what a horrible double standard, where if you're a drug dealer, but you're, you know, a middle class white guy, then you're supposed to get off. But no way, this guy Ross should do his time and this and that. Because what a horrible double standard. But meanwhile, virtually everyone arguing for Ross's freedom here would also argue to free any and everyone in all 50 states and all the federal pens who are in there for selling drugs. Full stop.
Well, that's a sick thing about this
double standard. Nothing, you know.
That's a sick thing about this Brianna Wu. Here's the tweet. There's a sort of double standard where drug dealing doesn't seem to count when it's upper middle class white libertarians using Bitcoin. Libertarianism is all about personal responsibility. And what you just said, we've been calling for an end to the drug war. We've been calling for the prisons to be emptied. What the hell is this woman talking about? Who is she? I mean, and there's no way. I mean, if she gets elected, just burn this thing to the ground. What is she talking about? Who is she virtue signaling to? I mean, this is not. How do
liberals, that's who.
How do people get they either do not understand libertarianism or they are intentionally misrepresenting it. And I have a tendency to believe more and more every day that it's the second one.
Yeah, it's just crazy. And, you know, somebody in the replies here Caroline D. says, oh, yeah, you're right. A total double standard, isn't it? And then she has a list here. And, of course, all of these people should be freed. But Jan Slomp, convicted as a drug dealer on Silk Road, 10 years. Another guy, 5. Another 3. Another a Silk Road admin, 17 months. Another one who was accused of helping operate it, released with no sentence. Ross Ulbricht, double life without parole. Federal prison, there's no parole, plus 40 years. So after he's lived and died 2 full lifetimes, then he'll do another 40, and then he'll be all right. He'll be free. Sounds like a pretty doubled standard there.
Well, I mean, and let's mention Chuck Schumer here.
Okay.
Who, yeah, because he appointed this judge, Judge Forrest, up in New York, and he his when this started, all he kept was demonizing Bitcoin, you know, saying, oh, this is only, I mean, when you see people online and anywhere saying that, oh, this is only used for drugs, this is only used for illicit activity, they're basically parroting what Chuck Schumer said at the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, just like Chuck Schumer, wasn't he one of the made his bones being a hawk about Waco?
Yeah, that's right. He was the number one defender of the ATF and the FBI after the Waco massacre.
Yeah, this is an evil bastard who hates individual freedom. I mean, the whole way this country was started, allegedly, on live and let live, I mean, it's just gone, and people still defend it. I mean, cases like this, if you just go and you know, and the worst thing about this case is, if you Google Ross Ulbricht, just Ross Ulbricht, the first link that comes up is to that Vice article about, here's the transcript proving Ross Ulbricht tried to hire assassins to have people killed, something that's been debunked and something that has been proven to, they had this information fed to them from the courts, because this happened before the trial. How are they releasing information before the trial?
All right, you guys, Tom Woods has been trying to get me to do this forever on Facebook, but I hate Facebook. But now I'm going to do it on Reddit instead. Anyone who donates a monthly subscription donation at paypal.com or at patreon.com/Scott Horton Show will get a ticket to join up my new private Reddit group at r/Scott Horton Show. Just email me and I'll get you set up. Any single PayPal donation of $50 will get you a signed copy of my book, Fool's Errand, Time to End the War in Afghanistan. And a $100 donation will get you either a QR code silver commodity disc or a lifetime subscription to Listen and Think audiobooks. Of course, I accept all kinds of digital currencies as well. You can find out all this stuff at scotthorton.org/donate. And of course, don't forget to shop amazon.com by way of my link. And give me a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or Amazon if you read the book and liked it. Thanks. Yeah. And then, of course, as always, I'm seeing here in the tweets.
And I think I said, and I think I said Vice, it was Wired, but Vice did some articles too, so screw them.
Yeah, they're horrible, man. I always thought that thing was a CIA plot from the beginning. Look at all their support for the Islamic State. You know, I see here, too, that the defense was not allowed to argue or, you know, inform the jury, of course, that the cops on the case were convicted or were, I guess, at that point charged with crimes on the case. So, you know, take that into account, everyone, when you're sitting on a jury, that the prosecutor and the judge are necessarily conspiring to keep information from you. If you don't see reasonable doubt, it's probably because they're lying and hiding it. You should always acquit everyone for everything.
Yeah, it's so funny. I had I was talking to my chiropractor this morning, and he got a jury summons, and he was complaining about it. And I sat there for 10 minutes just teaching him about jury nullification and telling him to get his ass in there.
Yeah. Absolutely. Set these people free. And you know what? As long as we're on that, I know somebody who years ago did jury duty, and the case was a cocaine charge, and the whole room full of people were being charged and convicted. I think they were all being prosecuted together. and it was like one or two of them had some cocaine, and everybody else in the room was being charged too, because the law in Texas says there's no difference. And so, as this person explained to me, we had to convict them. Because, you know, the judge said that the law says that if they're in the same room and you believe that that much is proven and that there was cocaine there, then that's enough. And you have to follow the law and you have to convict. And of course, I screamed at this person that, yeah, and if you voted to acquit, what could the judge do to you? Nothing at all. All you had to do was just refuse to go along. And that's it. And you wouldn't even have to necessarily explain yourself, or, you know, or you could just say, I'm not so convinced that they were all in the room. I don't know. You don't have to go along. That's the whole point of being a juror. You know, and so here, completely innocent people, never even mind the innocence of just having cocaine, but people who didn't even have cocaine went to the penitentiary and were sent there by decent, good people who would never harm anyone if the government didn't put them in that position to do this. And yet the excuse was, yeah, but I had to. And yet, but what would you say to anyone who ever hurt anyone and used that excuse? Oh, yeah, were they holding a gun to your head and forcing you? And the answer is absolutely not. Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah, and the whole thing about a jury of your peers.
Yeah, in other words, a bunch of cops' wives. And
yeah, a jury of my peers would be 12 libertarians that work on cars.
Right.
You know, so it's like, I'm not going to get a jury. I'm not going to get a jury of my peers. I'm going to get a bunch of people who don't want to be there. We're too
and who
stupid.
Are all immediate relatives of government employees or government employees themselves.
Yeah, or regular people that were too stupid to get out of it, who just want to go home. And they'll do anything. They'll do anything to speed up the process so that they can go home. And it doesn't. And your life doesn't matter, because obviously you're probably a criminal if you're being brought up on charges anyway. And that's just the way that people are brainwashed in this society. Yeah. You know, it's the whole thing about how, you know,
and the diffusion of responsibility too. Well, the 11 other jurors agreed with me, so it's not my fault.
See, that's why I'm the kind of person you want on a jury, because I'll be glad to go up against 11 other people in that room, and I'll turn them around.
Yep.
Yeah, because I'm a stubborn son of a bitch. So, but yeah, I mean, this is, you know, to go back to Ross. Yeah, I mean, I've never seen anything like this. There was one other thing I wanted to bring up, and it was there's another case. I mean, if people. Just so people don't believe that this is like a one-off, there was a guy in Jersey named Isaac Wright Jr. He was wrongfully convicted of being a drug kingpin in Jersey and got life in prison in 1991. He basically, during the appeal process, got the equivalent of an undergraduate degree in law. He educated himself. He got exonerated on all the charges. When he got out, he went to law school, got his degree, came back and got the cops and the judge locked up that put him in prison. Turned out that there was a conspiracy against him. Everybody was conspiring in that room. The prosecutor, when they went after him, he ran to Vegas. When they found him in a hotel room, before they could arrest him, he put a gun to his head and killed himself.
Huh, happy ending. That's great.
Yeah. And, you know, so this is not a one off in Ross's case. And by the way, Ross was charged with being a kingpin, and a kingpin is an automatic life sentence without parole. He was a kingpin for being the admin on a website.
Yep. Sounds right.
this is not a legal system. I call it the just us system. If you're not one of them, you're screwed.
Yeah, I see here on that Brianna Wu demon lady in the comments, somebody says, yeah, but they were trafficking slaves on there. Is there anything to that?
No.
I mean, again, I'm not necessarily buying that that would have been his responsibility anyway. But is that true, that human beings were bought and sold on Because I've heard of that happening on the dark web, but on the Silk Road, Mance?
No, it's just, it's, there's nothing to any of that. I mean, there's no, I mean.
How about the buying and selling of hitmen for hire to kill people? I mean, I know that's one of the bogus charges against him that he personally did that. But what about, hey, I need to hire someone to kill my ex-wife or whatever. Is that going on there too?
There were stories that would people would put up ads like that, but then the admins would take them down immediately. Mm-hmm. You know, stuff like, I mean, when you open up,
in other words, you could do that on eBay too, and it would get taken down too.
Yeah, freedom is dangerous. You know, when you open it up and say, look, there's only, you know, we only have a couple rules here, but you know, I mean, it's true. I mean, I've sold guns on Craigslist. Okay. I've actually sold guns on Craigslist before they cracked down on that, and I wasn't supposed to.
And if anybody, because you're violating their terms of service, but not the law, because that's just a private to private sale. The gun show loophole, right?
Yeah, yeah, the gun show loophole. Yeah. So yeah, I violated their terms of service, but one time I put one up on there, and it got taken down within 30 seconds because that's what they do. Normally, it would never stay up there longer than an hour. Mm-hmm. You know, so I mean, you could. The person who's running the site can't be responsible for everything, but now they have the new laws about with the FOSTA that came out, FOSTA and SESTA that came out earlier this year, which targeted Backpage about human traffic. Whenever they want to demonize anybody, there's human trafficking involved. Mm-hmm. You know, and it basically says now, if you own a website and somebody puts up something on your website that causes somebody harm, you're held accountable too. So it's like, I mean, why even have a website to do anything anymore? I mean, to sell anything anymore, where there's an open bazaar kind of website. I mean, your normal, there are websites now that have that are just for your neighborhood, where you can sell stuff in your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. If somebody puts something up on there for 5 minutes and it doesn't get taken down, and then a crime is committed or something, the person who put up this website and is running this local website can be charged as with the same kind of charges, murder or whatever happens in it. I mean, it's maniacal. Anyone who believes that we live in a free society you should just really have your head examined. I mean, you can't even walk down the, if you walk down the street and a cop tells you stop and you know you haven't done anything wrong and you don't stop, they can kill you because you don't listen to them. It's a police state. And people don't want to realize that because they think, oh, I live in the freest country in the world. I was in a country last year where I didn't see a cop for 10 days. and they have two murders last year. It's like, come on, people.
Yeah. Come on, when I was 15, a punk rocker on the drag handed me a piece of paper. I still have it here hanging on my wall. It's Global Police 2000 with an army of black-clad stormtroopers and black helicopters, and it says, fight back while you still can. And I took him up on that. You know what? I think, yeah, it's a good idea, and yet, yeah, it didn't work, and now it's too late. It's way past too late. I mean, you think about the number of laws, the number of violations of human rights by this government in, you know, the last 25 years. Since he gave me that thing.
And not to mention, after 9/11, now local law enforcement can use federal laws that were used supposed to be used to prevent terrorism as an excuse for so many different things.
Right.
You know, so it's, I mean, if consent of the governed, right?
Yeah.
That old chestnut.
Well, and then again, they probably do have it. If it just takes a 51% majority, like you said, people still believe the flag is still red, white, and blue. So what's your problem? You know,
considering how much blood it spills, it should just be red.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I tell you, you know, I'm always reminded of this Carol Quigley quote from Tragedy and Hope, where he says the only reason that we let there be two parties, one to supposedly represent the interests of the liberals and the other the conservatives, and so the American people can, ironic quotes, throw those rascals out every 8 or even 4 years if necessary, without ever leading to a substantial shift in policy, because the consensus is. This is what our mandate is. And of course, it's funny because he describes the mandate as, you know, global hegemony and central banking and all these things. Not one of the things that he lists are actual constitutional mandates for this government whatsoever. But that's the way it has to be. And it works so well that you have, you know, people who are enraged enough to start a war, placated. And then we switch back again.
Vote the bums out. Well, how did they get in there in the first place?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, come on. You get to select who goes up there and who's the new, you know, who's the new face to carry on the same old, same old.
And we finally get an outsider in there. And what's an outsider about him is he loves cops even more than any other president ever has. So
worships them. Tells them to, they don't have to be so nice when they're putting people in the squad car. You don't have to worry about, but they're,
cheer for that too. Yeah. Little police brutality. All right. Screw you, civil rights laws and whatever.
Yeah, we can get very hyperbolic online, you know, talking about how these people are bootlickers and how they're brainwashed. But I mean, things like that, watching that rally what else can you call it? I mean, these aren't independent thinkers. These aren't people who are, you know, laying down in bed at night and thinking to themselves, we don't seem to be as free as the founders, you know, had, you know, envisioned
and or promised anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just not.
Or you know what? Or even just, hey, man, think about all those people in prison. I saw someone the other day tweeted out, hey, fun fact, there's no air conditioning in virtually all Texas jail and prison cells while it's 108 degrees outside. And there's no, they can't crack a window. There's no ventilation. There's no fans. There's nothing. I mean, we don't even know how many prisoners died of heat stroke this week, but I bet it's a few. But we're just supposed to not care about that, not think about that. Out of sight, out of mind. If you're in prison, you must belong there, because if the DA and the judge agreed and they stacked on so many charges that you had no choice but to plead guilty, then screw you. Except that these are our friends and neighbors and brothers and cousins locked in cages, probably half of them for nonviolent crimes, and being treated worse than you would treat an animal.
Yeah, when Trump pardoned Joe Arpaio, one of the most god-awful, reprehensible, disgusting human beings that's ever walked the earth, people were applauding him for doing it.
Yep.
People were applauding. I mean, this guy had a county jail.
Yeah, not a prison where people have been convicted. The local lockup while you're awaiting trial.
Yeah,
yeah.
This was a county jail where, I mean, women were forced to give birth while handcuffed to a bed, or had a suicide rate 1.5 times what a prison would be. Not a county jail, what a prison would be. I mean, and people were clapping that Trump pardoned this guy.
Yeah, well, he's just, you know, persecuting Mexicans. Why do you care so much about them?
Yeah, well, screw the Fourth Amendment. Pull people out of cars and demand their papers. Let me see your papers. I think I've heard that in history before.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? You and I are old enough to remember that. But, you know, some people listening might not know that this is, as we were, you know, raised in the 20th century, this is the hallmark of totalitarianism. Show us your papers.
Yeah. And, you know, think about it. You can't go anywhere without ID. I mean, what do you think the whole thing about, you know, IDing 60-year-old people for alcohol? What's that all about? What, you know, why do you have to show your ID? What are you proving? You're not proving your age, because right. You can look at people and see what their age is. So what are you proving by showing the papers?
Yep. Well, and of course, it's not you proving, it's them proving to you that you are not free, that you are subject to the whims of power, to the whims of men, not law.
Yeah. Well, and
that's what it is.
And that is what it is. When I talk to people, you can talk to people that you know and get them to tell you that the FBI is evil and that the CIA is evil, but you can't get a lot of them to admit that local law enforcement is evil, because my uncle's a cop. I know a cop who lives next door to me. He's a good guy. Really? You go to work with him? You see what he does on a daily basis?
These people don't just think you're always saying, if there is such a thing as good cops, there wouldn't be such a thing as bad cops. So how come all we hear all the time is about bad apples here and bad apples there? How could that even happen? I forgot if it was Doug Stanhope or somebody said, we wouldn't put up with that standard in our airline pilots. That you have some bad apples, but most of them are okay. We have a zero tolerance policy when it comes to bad apple airline pilots. But our local security forces, sometimes they murder children or whatever. But anyway.
Use dogs for target practice. But that's cool. He was fearing for his life and he had to get home to his family. Those old chestnuts.
In fact, as long as we're at it, there's the story from the other day where in Silver Lake in North L.A., a guy was running from the cops, ran into a Trader Joe's to try to take some hostages, and the cops just opened fire and they killed the manager of the store. And, the AP rushes to spin it for them that the bullet, a cop's bullet, killed her. But we don't know if maybe the hostage taker stole the bullet from the cop and killed her with it. Maybe. I don't know. They do everything they can to beat the English language to death to figure out a way to frame this where they are not culpable for killing a person, someone who their job is protecting, supposedly. I mean, we know that that's really not true, but that's the veneer on the thing. And the cop's response was, it's sad, but we did what we had to do to protect the public. I mean, except the lady that we killed. But the rest of them, though. And then that's it. They're not even going to investigate. There's not even a hint of a question of a possibility that there could ever be accountability for the cop who killed the lady. That's it. Screw you if you don't like it.
In the very first podcast I ever did, which was about the police, episode number one, one of the first things I brought up was the Empire State Building shooter back, I think it was 2011, and how he stepped out of a car, shot the person that he was intending to kill, and then he went on the run. And two police officers went after him, got him down a street, and they unloaded their magazines. They unloaded 16 shots. One hit them, and they hit 9 bystanders. I mean,
and they did how many total days in jail or prison for that?
They didn't. I'm pretty sure they probably got a medal because they got the guy.
Yep. And then I forgot now. Did they kill any of the 9 that they shot?
No, thankfully they were all just wounded. But yeah, that must have been a great day, just walking around on Fifth Avenue around 34th Street, and all of a sudden I catch a bullet.
Yep. Yeah. And of course, these highly trained security forces, it goes without saying that it's perfectly legit for them to be in a state of complete panic and terror and fear, for them to shoot whoever they want all the time. But if they're shooting at you, you don't have the right to be afraid or to react in any way other than complete and total submission to them.
If they pull a gun on you, you have to, they can fear for their life and shoot you. But you have to be completely calm, cool, and collected while a gun's being pointed at you.
Yeah, and while they're screaming at you, too, at the top of their adrenaline-backed voice,
Really, I mean, really. And who desires a job where your basic job is to raise your voice to other adults and rifle through their property? Who wants that job? Come on. I don't want that job. I don't like people enough to want to deal with them. I don't mean that. It's just that I want to leave people alone because I want to be left alone. Why would I desire that job? I mean, who desires that job, man? It's so. To bring it back to Ross, I mean, these people basically framed him, and they're in prison, and the people who are responsible for him being in prison are in prison themselves due to activities that were done within the case and the investigation.
Yeah. And the judge don't give a damn. The judge could turn around and set him free, but no.
No, the judge, and she's retiring at the end of the year too. So, you know, of course.
Yeah, on your dime.
Yep, and she will. You know, Chuck. I'm sure Chuck Schumer will have a spot for her in in his for life position that he has down there that he can't get voted out of his wonderful system of democracy.
Yeah. Well, all right. Let's leave it at Chuck Schumer. Thanks, Mance.
All right, man. Thanks a lot, Scott. Talk to you later.
Appreciate it. All right, you guys. No, wait. You still there? Tell me, how can people find out more about Ross, join the Free Ross campaign? I know there's a change.org petition and all this stuff.
Yeah, if you go to Twitter and you go to Free Ross, which is Lynn Ulbricht, his mom's site, they have a link to the change.org petition, or you can just, I'm sure if you Google change.org, Ross Ulbricht petition. I mean, this is basically, it's the last thing is to... The last straw is to draw attention to this as much as possible, because all of the legal means have been exhausted. So basically, it's going to take a pardon or it's going to take clemency in order for Ross to see the light of day again. And the Ross Ulbricht change.org petition. And yeah, I mean, that's basically all we can do. Go to freeross.org to find more information about Ross and to really look at what a travesty this is.
All right, man. Thank you again, dude.
All right, man. Thank you.
All right, you guys. That's Mance Rader. He hosts Free Man Beyond the Wall, which we feature at the Libertarian Institute. And go there and you can check out his recent interview of the great Lynn Ulbricht. She's a really nice lady. I met her on the Tom Woods cruise last year. And she's a really great person. It's really sad to see what's going on here. But... good stuff. All right, you guys. Oh, and check out Mance's books, too. Freedom Through Memedom and The Kids Are Not All Right. All right, y'all. That's it for the show. Check me out at libertarianinstitute.org, scotthorton.org, antiwar.com, twitter.com/ScottHortonShow. Appreciate it. And buy my book, Fool's Errand, Timed and the War in Afghanistan.